Say your.
Let me air.
That's not familiar.
Yes, what's sir. Good?
Hey, man, we're in part two of episode five, man. We
look right, like, man. Hey, hey, yo, we, hey, and look, and we
fucking banned by episode two.
Hey, and we doing numbers too.
Yeah,
bro.
We're doing really good. I cannot explain this enough. We are very thankful for our viewers.
Grateful, absolutely.
Thank you to everyone who tunes in to YouTube, to Spotify, to Apple Podcasts.
All that.
Thank you for everyone that interacts with us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Please keep it up. Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends, tell your barber, your aunt, your uncle, the dude,
everybody.
The dude that makes your coffee at Starbucks. Just tell everybody about it, and we really appreciate it.
Let the dog listen to it.
Let the dog listen to it. Tell Sergeant Major next time you get to work, hey, check out this podcast right here and hit us up. But today we got a very special guest today. I'm going to let Mel tell him more about it. But as you can see, I am joined alongside my brothers from another mother. And I'm not going to let Janine tell it. I am Willie Knight, first of his name.
This is
Mr. Isaac Moretta, Brugal Papi himself. And this is Mr. Melvin Towers, Montavo Gonzalez Morales. But talk us up, Mr. Mel. Who we bringing on today?
So we're bringing a solid good friend of mine. His name is Mitchell Moss. We did a contract overseas together. That's where I met him at. I met him in Kuwait. We was doing force protection, DOD civilian contracting. I met him. Dude's been solid since day one. And we go back a few years now. And we stand a lot on the same things as far as the racial injustice and all that good stuff. So that's what me and him normally chop it up about, and also about sports. And he's a big troll like I am, so it makes it all the better. You feel me? Like, he fun guy, real solid, dope dude. And if you haven't seen Star Wars and y'all saw Darth Vader and y'all know that James Earl Jones was the voiceover to that guy, if you ever watch Black Lightning, this is the voiceover to him. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, don't do that. Hey, just so we know, so Luke Cage might have a season 3 on Netflix because of Mr. Mitchell Mars. So,
let's bring him on.
Hey, Mr. Mitchell.
Hey, what's up, man?
Welcome to the Good Noodles Podcast. We thank you for coming on the show.
Appreciate y'all having me.
For me, we're gonna jump into the fitness, right? So we have this thing now with social media. It's big, it's a huge platform to the point where if you look good, people feel that you can be a trainer and they forget about the hard work that it takes to be certified as a trainer. So for me, I wanna know, like, what do you think is the difference between somebody who's been certified as a trainer versus somebody who's just looked good on social media and just handing out regular workouts and recipes that they probably found online?
All right, so here's, I'm a name drop. I mean, I don't know if you even remember him, but he was in Kuwait with us. He went by, like, his name's like James the Lion or something like that, right? We'll use him for an example. Before I left, like, he had basically had the same clients for the 2 years I was there, and none of them showed any sign of any kind of transition in their body or nothing like that. And what was happening was, it was a few things. But with him, in his case, he was never certified. And he, like, didn't even, like, I had, like, one of my clients went and asked him where he got a certification from. And he didn't even know what the certification was. Like, what are you talking about? Like, so when you get guys like that, what normally happens is, you know, with women, men, they want to look for trainers that look like trainers. They don't care what you know. As long as you look built, they're going to pick you. But what happens is, these people start training their clients how they work out. So yeah, you can probably press out, 80 plus pound dumbbells, but then having your client trying to do 60, 50, 40 when they just started working out 2-3 weeks ago, what ends up happening is you kill that person. Like, so then you broke their body down completely. So they're, a soreness they probably never felt. Then you kill their confidence because they're thinking, I'm really out of shape. Like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But you're training them to your training standard, not to theirs. So then that person that you've killed their confidence, you made sore, you don't see them again. And sometimes the people that will stick around, they don't know any better. They stick around because they really think that, you know, they really are hoping to get the change they're looking for. It's just, you know, you're in a time where you could just say, I'm a trainer, and boom, you're a trainer. And truth be told, from a legal standpoint, now I understand everybody does it, and I ain't trying to kill it. If I ain't trying to kill nobody's, you know, extra cash flow. But truth be told, if you're not a nutritionist or a dietitian, you as a personal trainer, you're not even supposed to be doing meal plans for people. Legally, you're not supposed to do meal plans for people. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just see, you know, so what happens, you get these people that compete who have been on stage before, or like once or twice, they give them their diet. So these people are getting diets where there's like no carbs and all that. Like, these people don't need to be at 5% or 10% less body fat. They're just trying to lose weight. But it's a quick hustle. People think it's a lot of money in it. So that's it's become the easy hustle. Like, oh man, if I get me this, everybody has this dream where, well, if I train just one athlete, if I get me a celebrity, I'm in there. What you don't realize is that's few and far between. Unless you were an athlete yourself, you don't run into situations like that for real. Like, all years I've been training, I've trained one collegiate athlete, one. So that's, I mean, when you chase the dollars, you know, that's where people, you're always going to go wrong every time. Because then you get exposed when these clients been with you 3-4 months and they look the same. Yep. And they following your word.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So life as a trainer, right, with COVID, how did that affect you?
You know what? It honestly picked up. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, here's the thing. You know, when I was writing my business plan, when I wanted to do a gym once upon a time, still might do it, but I was doing a lot of research and asking people. A lot of people don't like, yeah, the nice gyms are cool, but they don't like big gyms, and they don't like people seeing them work out because they feel, you know, self-conscious about it. Like, okay, they're watching me, I'm overweight, I'm jiggling, you know, whatever it is they think in their mind. So a lot of people are good with working out in their garage or working out at home or whatever it is. So the summer, when the school was out, I was just at home working on other stuff, and I had old clients from gyms hitting me up asking me to work out. So what I was doing was taking them outside. We go to the park, work out for a solid hour, and I was training on my own again. I kind of picked it back up. And then around August, when school started back, one of my old supervisors hit me up, told me he had a bunch of clients for me. This was August. I'm like, all right. So I basically came back to not too far from like a full schedule. People are needing an outlet. Like, people are stressed. People are tired of being at home. People have gained that COVID weight. So they're in the gym. They want to lose the 15, 20 pounds they gained. So it's actually bumped up.
Okay. So the rates, though, like, do you change your rates? Like, if you have to, if you have to virtually train somebody for COVID or whatever, like, does that affect anything? Or like business-wise, from your preparation, like, how did that work? Because, I mean, like, you go from being in person to now I got to, like, we doing this right now. Like, I got to train you right now and watch you do push-ups from this weak-ass internet, you know? Like, how did that work?
Here's the thing. I went through a period where I wasn't training at all. So once I got back to it, I was like, the gyms out here, they were closed from March and opened back up in May. So it wasn't a long period. Like, they're open now. Like, I go, you know, it's the only thing they tell you is to throw a mask on when you walk in. Otherwise, you can keep it on if you want or not to. So I've never actually had to train anybody virtual. Now, I do online training, but that's just me writing you a program, me giving you meal suggestions, not a diet plan or just suggestions, and doing it that way. I've never had to do training virtual. Like, everything I've done has been in person other than my online business.
You got, now, us as the Good Noodles Podcast cannot speak for our own private life, but I know the single mothers out there is trying to snap back and whatnot. So, like, let's say, like, you have those clients that they want to get back in shape or get in shape or whatever. They don't know how to make the time for it, or they have a lot of things for it. Like, how do you go about talking to them and building a program for them?
For me, I've been doing this so long, it's almost a lot of it's second nature. Like, I got people that don't even own workout equipment.
Right.
Maybe own like two bands. Like, they got like two bands they own. So as long as you understand people's fitness level, you adjust it to, you adjust the intensity to whatever their fitness level is. And the time for me is just, I can feel for somebody to an extent with the time thing. But at the end of the day, if you don't have time for anything else, you got to at least have 30 minutes of your life for health. You don't need a whole hour to work out. You don't need 45 minutes. You can get a solid workout if your intensity is right for 30 minutes and be done for the day.
Yeah.
And that's a start. Now, you may not, I'm not saying it's going to be your transformation is going to happen overnight at that rate, but it is a start. And eventually,
And
as long as you're eating the way you're supposed to, above all, like, if you're not doing the eating part, then you don't really even need to bother. But if you can eat, the eating is what, 70%?
Having a good diet is 70%.
Oh, people forget that. Need proper rest to show results, man. When you don't get the sleep that you need, your body slows down on showing those results.
Yes.
Yeah, lifestyle. Your dieting plays a huge part.
Yeah, man. All right.
So we spoke about, you know, training, you know, as a certified trainer versus the social media trainers, and we talked about the COVID issue. Now we're going to touch on a little more deeper point, right? So we know how this world we live in can be a lot sensitive now, right? So
Don't do this, Mel.
How does a guy, right? And let's be honest, right? This guy he's a gorgeous man, right? So how does a guy like you, when training a female, how do you feel comfortably with the whole Me Too movement, or if she's married or she has a boyfriend? How do you get involved in those situations where you feel comfortable that no lines are being crossed?
Mel, why do you have to take it there? Why?
I'm just happy
that you walk in and be like, all right, man, you about to train with this guy. See you in 30. You're going to look.
Hey, this is the last subject. This is the last subject that we ever let a Mel fucking lead. Because, yo.
Mel, you're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing great, sweetheart.
Nah, that's a valid question. So
that is a valid question. Go ahead.
That's tough. Like, so, you got to think about that shit.
So the thing is, for me, I've always, like, you know, a lot of trainers, I think they do too much. Like, they want to go hands-on and want to be real handsy and all that. That's the thing that's really going to get you in trouble the most, is making that physical contact when you don't need to. Now, there are times, like, if I need to, like, touch, even if I'm just touching your arm or pointing something out, like, as far as maybe doing tricep push-downs, keeping your arms in, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask you, I'll like, do you mind if I, you know, reposition you real quick, reposition your arm or whatever it is, but I'm not adjusting your hips, and I'm not doing all that. Like, if you just can't figure it out.
So your sessions are not falling into that category on that website.
No, that's not, that's not what I'm offering out here. So no, I'm not, you know, and that's the thing. And people think, you know, a lot of trainers think that that's cool until they end up in trouble over nothing, or until somebody's boyfriend or husband is coming up and got an issue. I don't need that. Like my thing is, I ask you before I make head contact with you, and I'm not all in your space. Like, I'm got, like, any video I have, I'm not in your personal space. Like, when I post my clients, I ask if you mind being posted. I post you, and I leave it at that. Now, you know, and I think where the lines get blurred is because when you train somebody and you see, especially with somebody you see multiple times a week or whatever it is, these people, you know, rely on you. They start telling you their life problems and all that. And I think some trainers don't know how to cut that off. Like, give advice. Yeah, help that person out. Let that person vent. Whatever it is they need to get through the session. But I think a lot of feelings, you know, get crossed when training happens. But for me, I'm not touching you unless I ask. If I ask, I'm only touching, like, your arm. Or I might
put
something on you, and that's that. That's where I leave.
Facts.
Cool. I like that. I like it. So last question on the fitness, right? And then we're going to move on to the next question. You as a gym trainer, right? You've been around the gym. You've seen a lot, right? You know a lot. Who thirst traps more in the gym? Is it male or females?
I'm going to say women off top. Women. Women do. It's
not need to go any further than that, my brother.
We don't even need an explanation. That's it.
Yo, the polls that we put on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, look, people, you can say what you want about what we're saying that women thirst trap more, but the people have spoken. And
I don't even think saying it.
I don't even think the polls were open. The polls weren't even open for a good few hours. And it was a landslide that women thirst trap more than men.
But it's a fact, though.
There were even some women, like, saying, it's women, but men need to step it up.
Annoying as fuck.
Hey, fellas, if you watching this and you are in a situation in life where you are available to thirst trap, then you, hey, step your game up, fam. The lady has spoken.
Back. All right, so my brother, we know that you served in the military, you served proudly, you served honorably. So I would like to know from your standpoint, right? I want you to kick it off and tell us about what you believe and what you've seen or know about racism in the military.
Oh, that god damn. Man, this could have been its own episode, bro. Golly.
It is. Shout out to Thirsty Thursdays.
It is.
You know what? It's definitely there. And, you know, people think, I think a lot of time people just leave racism to dropping the N-word or they calling you coon or something like that. Like, nah, it's a lot more subtle in the military. But sometimes
It is.
But sometimes when it comes in hot. Like, you know it is. Like, I'll give a story real quick. I won't go too long, but for me, back when I just got back from Iraq, and I was I had just turned 20 a little bit before I came home. I don't drink. Anybody that knows me now knows I don't drink. So I'm driving my boy home because he's drunk. He's passed out in my seat, passenger seat. And this was before you had the auxiliary cord. Like, you was changing CDs. This was 2006. You changed the CDs.
So you old. Like, you not just old, you old.
He said he was 20 and 06. Good.
good goddamn.
Wait, hold on. Now, wait, how old are y'all? Like, what you mean?
I'm 29.
I'm 26.
I'm 29.
I'm 33.
Well, we know Mel's the oldest group. Mel,
we said age, not how tall are you?
So I was driving, so I kind of drifted a little bit out of lane, and not like all the way out, but just kind of drifted a little bit. I was turning into the front gate, and I see a patrol car following me. He didn't have his lights on or anything. So I'm like, so the patrol car was obviously one of us, security forces. I was military cop, for those, you know, those listening. So I go to my dorm. Dude gets out the car. Was like, basically, how much you had to drink? Like, extra aggressive. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I've been following you from back there. I was like, yeah, I know, I saw you. He's like, how much you had to drink? I don't drink. Like, you see my wristlet on my hand. They're not going to give me a drink. Like, I was stationed in Panama City, so everybody's going to La Villa Spinnaker. They're the only two places you can really go. I got the wristlet on. He lets him go to his room. So he staggers to his room, and he's out there just, like, grilling me. Like, I know you've been drinking. So at this point, like, his tough guy act, it probably didn't help my cause. I started laughing a little bit. Like, I laughed because I'm like, you out here dead wrong, but you really trying to, you know, and anybody that knows anything, those DUIs go differently for certain people. If you try, like, for certain black people, if you get a DUI, you don't lost your career. So here I am, a little over a year in. He done called it in. It's not like he called it in. It's not like he tried to act like he was doing me a favor by telling me to go to my room. Yeah. But you done already called it in over the net. And a lot of our commanders are known to have a radio. They take a radio home with them. So now you done called me in over the net for drunk driving or a possible DUI. And sometimes that's all it takes. Like, even if I really, you know, and I wasn't drinking. I hadn't had a drink. But it's the idea that you done called me in. Everybody in the squadron that's on shift done heard it. So now here I am in a position where I'm defending myself for something I didn't even do. Just because you saw a car with rims on it and was bored. And the thing was, well, he didn't understand. Like, he was working, he was a civilian cop, so he wasn't even active duty. He was just there as basically IMA or doing something to that effect.
Yeah.
So you put me in a position to possibly lose my career because you're lying. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I'm telling you, I didn't have anything to drink, and you're just gonna basically try to force yourself into to getting a DUI for the night. Like, no, that ain't it.
Oh, no breathalyzer, no nothing, no sobriety test,
nothing. Nothing. He was just convinced that I was drunk just because I was changing the CD while I was driving. That's literally all I had done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, that's a career ender for a lot of people. Some, you might get away with it, but for most, you're gonna lose your career for that.
And even without even ruining your career, he put you on the radar when you didn't need to be on the radar. You know, you're underage as it is. So now he created a whole safety briefing that didn't need to be created. Now they got to talk about underage drinking, the you know, the cons of it, or what happens in your career, and then probably use you as an example for no reason at all.
Oh, well, see, and that's what I was afraid of. So what I did was, after he told me to stay in my room, I hopped right in my car, went up the street to the squadron, and I met with the flight chief. I was like, I'll take whatever test y'all want me to take right now. But he was wrong, and y'all got to do something about him. I was like, because you're not going to ruin my career off a lie. The flight chief, you know, he didn't want to press the issue. He was just kind of like, all right, well, you know, if you weren't drinking, you weren't drinking. I'm like, but you don't understand, like, okay, you might have been cool, but had it been another flight chief here, I've been hemmed up for nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that story is you're not the only person it's happened to. It's happening to many different people in and out the military since before 2006 and well after 2006. Not to put a date on you, but I think more specifically what I want you to articulate is tell the people, tell the good noodles people, in terms of the policies of the military while you were in, how does that, like, low-key, like, kind of fucking underline racism in the military?
Up until recently, we'll go with males and the part. Males having a part in their head.
Ha, yep. I was, you know,
because we had a situation when I was I was an instructor. One of the black kids got a part in his head. And they're like, well, that's, you know, he's got a part. He can't have that. Says who? Like, your part is not natural. You had to take a comb or clippers, however you would about it, to form your part. It's the same thing, just on a black person's head. Mm-hmm. And that one, and I lost that battle. I lost that battle.
That doesn't surprise me, y'all.
But, you know, and it's funny that conversation happened in 2013, but just as of what, late last year, they finally changed that. So you got that. The part
became more open. I want to say I was leaving Bragg when it became that. So it was like 2018-ish when that became a thing. Because I would put a part in my hair because I read it. I was reading through it and I read it and I was like, oh, bet. So I'm going to do that now. So was when I was at Bragg. So that was like 2018. That was my last year at Bragg. So yeah, around that time. But this is 2018. The Army's been around since 1775.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So took a little bit. Took a few days to get that one together. And I think I think the Army still has a ways to go with.
Oh, absolutely.
With the image. With
last year, they started to adjust the hair regulations for African-American women so they can actually feel comfortable wearing their natural hair. And we thinking like this is just last year, pretty much close to this year coming in. I mean, when we look at it, like December timeframe around there is when they started to bring this regulation in. So we say got a lot of ways to go. There's a lot of ways to go because still, when we talk about regulation, let's talk about the facial hair for the males. You know, like we know that African-American males get a lot of razor bumps as to why they don't feel comfortable shaving, as to why they don't want to shave. And
word, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yo, fuck that. Give me a beard. Let me wear my beard. Hey, look. And Mel and probably Mitch and no disrespect to Willie, all of us have been overseas in the Middle East. How many times did you run into a fucking foreign force, the British, the goddamn, like whoever it was, they were allowed to wear beards?
Is Egypt not the Middle East?
Okay, you were stationed there. That don't count.
So that means I wasn't there because I was.
Did you get shot at?
Oh, that makes it count?
Yes, it does.
I'm just trying to see your logic here. So it doesn't count that I've been to the Middle East for a year because I wasn't shot at.
Here we go.
I'm asking a question.
I've done both. I've been deployed and I've been stationed in the Middle East. Relax.
Yo, fam, I lived in Brooklyn for 20 years and been shot at there. What the fuck? Does that count?
You know what? Good point. Never mind.
So shut up. We get it. You're proud of your fucking deployment. Get over yourself. So the beard, I like the beard. So it's just that the image of professionalism needs to be heavily adjusted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they can create a regulation where it says, hey, your beard can't be, you know, to a certain length. But right now, as it states, they want it to be like 1/8 of an inch, but you can't line it up. So that's
what gets me with the Army regulation. I can't speak for the Marines, Navy, or Air Force, but the Army regulation, I get 1/4 of an inch to the max. I can't line it up or whatever the case, like I have it now, but it's a 4.
Do you know why they don't want you to line it up?
I don't know, and I'm gonna let you tell it, but it's weird because I feel like right now I look professional. If I were to put a uniform or a suit on, I would look professional. Like Mr. Mitchell Moss is all fucking lined up to the fucking hair fiber right now, and he looks fucking professional.
He went to wherever Steve Harvey used to go to get his
hair. Yo, my man, I'm telling you, yo, Mitch's barber, shout out to whoever cuts Mitch's hair because he has
he got the ruler like this.
He has a master's degree in geometry. I fucking know he does, bro. Like, that man he's faded. He got the Jalen Rose fade. Like, he was in there with a magnifying glass and some scissors. Like, yeah, that's how it goes.
Shout out to Chris.
So, it's weird because this looks professional, but if I don't shave this and I'm looking all scruffy, I look fucking homeless.
And that's why they keep it like that, because they want you to feel like that so you can shave it.
So you can, exactly. It's terrible, bro, because look, I didn't even line my shit up. All I did was clean it up, look. But it still looks good, you know what I'm saying? So it kills me, the fact that, like, y'all want us to look like homeless, like you saying. When we got a shaving profile, and bro, my shit look good, man.
Let's not talk about how basically Big Army feels you can't be a good soldier with a broadening assignment if you have a beard.
Exactly, that's dumb,
bro. Let me tell you right now, if I became a recruiter right now with a beard,
you wouldn't become a recruiter with a beard.
No, I'm saying if I could, do you know how many more recruits I would pull saying, "Hey, look, I got a beard, like, you know, you can do this." You know how mad I was when I found out that I had to shave to join the military?
It is a soldier's saddest day in his career when he is on his last day of leave and he is in the bathroom.
Yes.
He's in the bathroom with the Clippers playing 90s R&B talking about how do I...
Nigga, I literally have a video just like that. Because, yo, bro, like, yeah, y'all making this seem, because the military makes it seem like having a shaving profile is a bad thing. Like, motherfucker, no. I went 20 years of my life with never having to fucking razor shave, and as soon as I razor shaved, I had bumps everywhere.
Yeah. So I think another thing, not while we on it, is the hair too, because I just trimmed my shit. My shit was a lot longer.
Well, clearly I can't comment on it.
I just cut my shit in half, right? Like I told them to take half of it off. So think of this twice as long. If I were to leave it out and like let it just be its natural shit, I promise I would get spoken to 10 times before another soldier with a different texture of hair. And I promise you whose hair
I believe it.
Of a different demographic was all swooped to the side or swooped back and shit. No one's gonna say a word to that soldier at all.
Nah, I believe it. Nah,
but hey, this right here is gonna get some attention, and that also annoys the living shit out of me.
Nah, so look. Just to put a bow on it, because I know we run a little long. Look, bottom line, there's always that fucking skepticism, and there's always that fucking little bit of fucking latitude that soldiers who don't have the certain texture of hair that we have, it goes that way. So
yeah,
I'm gonna say this: the military has been doing good with the last two Sergeant Majors, Sergeant Major Grinson, and what was the last one before that?
What, Daly?
Yeah, Sergeant Major Daly. They've been making strides. I will give them that. I will give them that credit. Between Sergeant Major Daly and
better come through, he half black. He better come through.
Right. So to wrap a bow on that, y'all not wrong. We need to adjust these standards and facts to everything y'all said.
So we done said what we said about some of the racism in the military. And that's just towards the black community. We didn't even touch on any other community in the military.
Right.
We briefly spoke about it in the last episode with Vanessa Guillen.
And we did.
We didn't even do it from a race standpoint. It was just
yeah, no, it was just from a purely human standpoint.
You best believe race had something to do with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Now we go. Let's take it outside the military. Mel, take us into some talks about injustices and racism outside.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, what's crazy is that, you know, he's been out for a little bit, but I believe that you're doing the reserves now, though, right?
Yeah, I'm in the – yeah, they got me to join the Air National Guard.
So, but here's the thing, though, right? You getting out and no longer being active, right? Once Trump got elected, how things went differently for the friends that you had when you were active?
Oh, Lord. Is this how we starting this?
No. I'm asking because I've seen on his page a few things, you know what I mean? So I'm going to let him talk on it.
You know, the people got bolder. That's what I'll say. They got real bold and real comfortable. So, you know, and I tell anybody, I mean, no, Trump didn't start racism. No, I don't think that.
No, absolutely not. We talked about this.
He definitely spoke the language of the people. He woke it back. Like, he made them feel good about being open with it again, is how I put it. So, you know, anytime, you know, like, I'm looking at, like, some of the people I still had left over, a lot of people deleting themselves over the years, but some that I have are, like, you know, they're really all pro-Trump. Like, they, you know, hated Hillary, always talked about the Benghazi thing, and, you know, people just got comfortable with the idea of saying whatever they wanted and doing whatever they wanted. Like, you've been on plenty of my posts. And you got people on there, you know, justifying, you know, they became more comfortable with justifying, like, the current event, whether it's Kaepernick, him calling Kaepernick a son of a bitch, things like that. You know, they really bought into that. Like, that was, you know, they didn't have to hide their feelings anymore. And I think that's what the biggest change was. Like, you at least had to, you know, hold on. How do I put this? Back when I was in, you probably could be racist, but you hit it well. Like, you.
Right.
Like, when you deal with people of color, what tends to happen is they tend to like you more the more comfortable you make them. When you don't bring up these kind of issues, when you're well spoken, whatever it is, they see you as one of them. They try to convince you that you're not like them being other black people, Hispanics, whatever it is. So once I was out, And right when I was getting out, that's when the Trayvon Martin thing was really, you know, had taken off. And then we ventured into Mike Brown and Darren Wilson, that situation and all that. So it became a thing where every time I spoke up, I'm like, yeah, you know, I was an instructor for this law enforcement stuff. Like, you can't shoot. There's no just fine shooting an unarmed person. So when I say that, people are getting upset. And they're like, oh, you act like – and they were taking it personal. Like, you act like you were one of us. Like, you weren't one of us. Blah, 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 blah. Like, all I'm telling you is you can't shoot somebody unarmed, whether he was black, white,
Hispanic. Yeah, no matter the color.
So I'm glad that he brought that up, that he's an instructor, right? Because a lot of the back and forth that I saw on his page from his friends, right, were about, you know, like, cop incidents against, you know, people of color, like African-Americans, stuff like that. And his standpoints would be of that he's an instructor and he's speaking on what the facts are, whether it be black, brown, purple, blue, whatever. He's just saying, hey, these are the rules, these are the laws, which you can
right.
By it, because it's a white shooter versus the person who's getting shot isn't white. And, you know, it's a lot to take in. And when you start to realize that these people who are going back and forth with you used to be your friends or are your friends, and you feel like, yo, how do you feel that's justified that somebody could be running, you know, just not even with a weapon, just running away, and you could justify them being shot in the back? Like, I to me, I don't understand it, you know?
They always found a way. And you, like I said, you've seen my post. So I was like, all right, maybe you guys forgot about Tennessee versus Garner. These are court cases we learned about going through the schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Right, Tennessee versus Garner
tells you that you cannot shoot somebody in the back without either, you know, feeling or knowing that they're going to cause somebody else serious, grievous bodily harm or death, or you have to be able to prove that beyond a doubt to take off shooting them.
See, and that's the thing, bro. Like, it's one thing, because let's be real here. Motherfuckers run from the cops every day. Like, let's not make that, like, let's not make it seem like running from the cops is not a normal thing. You, like, motherfuckers run from the cops. There's a difference, though. If I'm running from the cops towards a crowd of people with a gun or machete, a knife, where I'm going to cause bodily harm to somebody else, that's different. Right. I'm not saying you're right for running from the cops, because you shouldn't. But there's a difference. If I'm running from the cops because I'm being a dickhead and I'm just scared they're going to shoot me versus I got a knife or I got a gun and I'm running a two completely different situations.
You know what's crazy? Like, when you see these guys running away, right? They're not running away to commit a crime or nothing like that. They run away because of fear. I mean, fear of getting caught, right. Fear of getting shot, right? So my thing is this. What is it going to hurt you when all this guy did was stole a vehicle, crashed into the pole, got out the vehicle, running away because he's scared he might get shot or arrested? What is it going to hurt you to?
Nah. I don't believe that they should have got shot and killed. But I'm going to tell you right now, coming from the standpoint, my brother is a cop and NYPD. Shout out to Hondo, bro. Coming from this standpoint, sometimes you got to put hands on a motherfucker. Sometimes, like, hey, you being unruly, you being unlawful, you going to catch these motherfucking hands, bro. Like, I'm going to tell you right now.
Trump is he didn't create racism, and I love that you said it, but he definitely exposed it. I think in order for this nation, for the self-proclaimed greatest nation in the world, for it to move forward, I think these steps that we're taking backwards, divided, is what we need. Because, again, I said it in the episode, and I'll say it again, I'm tired of being lied to, saying that racism doesn't exist.
Bro, facts.
And I'm not saying I'm okay with it, but I rather it be honestly existing.
Like yo, if you're racist, tell me straight up you're racist.
Like, just let me know that you think that your racial background is superior to all other racial backgrounds.
Right.
And I understand that part, but it's exposed the nation for the how divided we really are. And
right, I agree.
These things that are happening, and it touches me on a very deep level. And I know Isaac can attest to this, but I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget the story of Khalif Browder and how
stop because you don't even cry
and how
stop.
His story, if our viewers or listeners or fans don't know the story of Khalif Browder, I'll give you a quick synopsis. He was accused of stealing a backpack. He was accused of stealing a backpack, and mind you, the event, so okay, Friday night, hypothetically, somebody steals the backpack, runs away, never caught him, whatever the case. Khalif Browder is walking home from a party. Someone identifies him as the person that stole the backpack a few days after the event had taken place. The police, without questioning or anything, arrest him. He spends months, like a year and a half, 2-3 years in Rikers Island, one of the most cruel and most dangerous
prisons
in America. And throughout his tenure there, he spends several months cumulatively in solitary confinement. And scientists have said that, and this is based on the documentary Time, a Khalif Browder story, that there are trained military personnel that cannot survive that type of confinement and come out normal.
Yeah.
So this messed with him mentally. In this time that he was in Rikers Island, he didn't get a trial. He was not able to see a judge or anything.
He was just locked up.
And they kept telling him, just cop the plea, basically plead guilty. And he kept saying, no, I'm not going to plead guilty for something I know I have nothing to do with. I didn't do it.
Right.
You were telling us earlier, Mr. Moss, about I didn't have a sip of fucking alcohol tonight. I'm not going to sit here and confess to something I didn't do. So fast forward, he was released out of prison. It got a lot of celebrity attention, like Jay-Z and Kim Kardashian.
It got a lot of
fucking publicity, and he got out. He was trying to go to school and better himself, but it became too much and he ended up killing himself. And it was very difficult to watch. You know what,
you said it got a lot of attention, but it didn't only get positive attention. It got the negative attention. Like, there was motherfuckers running up on Khalif talking about, oh, you the motherfucker I seen on TV, I know you got bread. You know what I'm saying? So, and, like, they were harassing him, all that.
It sucks. And some of the racism that's going on is all circulating back to something yet again we already spoke about, and that's being a product of your environment.
Facts.
You might have been raised into racism. You were raised as a racist person. You might have.
That's a fact.
You have, you know, I've seen it, and it's a really uncomfortable situation when it gets to that point. But I've seen how the vibe changes when little white kids are playing with little black kids, and I see how their parents get when they're not playing with black kids or whatever.
That's a fact.
And it's tough, man. And so if you're watching this show or you listening to us and you're really sitting here and you're not convinced racism is a thing in America, if you're not convinced that there are black people being killed unjustifiably by law enforcement for whatever their local law enforcement is, then I need you to just pay attention and wake up.
And not only that, say something. Like, if you want to talk about it, say something.
If you think we're absolutely bullshit and then we sound like a bunch of idiots and we're full of shit, then definitely come on the show and we will respectfully have a
conversation. Respectfully, that's the big part. We will respectfully have a conversation with you.
I think I appreciate and we're not ending the show. I just want to make it clear. I appreciate Mr. Mitchell Moss coming on the show and talking about this because it's a fucking thing. It is a thing. I have been harassed by police officers in multiple different states. Whether it was justifiable or not. Shout out to my brother Josh. He and I literally were in the lobby of his building where he lives, and we were harassed by undercover cops because they thought we didn't live there. Because he lives in a nice Jewish neighborhood. And who are these two fucking, who's this Dominican kid and this Spanish looking kid in this building? Right. My man had us on the wall, hands up, searching us, and took the keys to the house to make sure that they opened the building door downstairs, and then was like, okay, y'all are good. So it's like, it's shit like that. Like, and I understand, like, the whole stop and frisk thing in New York was just absolutely stupid.
I hated that. That was dumb.
It was like, it was just ridiculous. And if you don't think that there are injustices in America where black people are unjustifiably being killed by law enforcement, pay the fuck attention. You need to look at stories like George Floyd. You need to look at stories like Tayvon Martin. And you need to stop trying to dig up dirt because you're contradicting yourself. Because President Trump, and I've said it before, I don't hate President Trump. I don't. I'm not a Trump supporter politically or whatever the case may be. There are some Republican policies that I'm here for, but I don't hate Donald Trump, but that man does not have a clean past, and y'all put him on a pedestal, but then you
try to
slander people like George Floyd because, oh, well, he's a criminal and this and a third. Well, whatever. I'm not going to talk. Y'all already know what President Trump has been accused of.
It had to do anything with him. Got done dirty. You know I mean, like, what does him doing porn has to do anything him being murdered?
The reality is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The reality is, you know, people like living in their, you know, willful ignorance. That's where we are in America. Because over 10 years ago, the FBI put out a document stating that white supremacists were infiltrating military and law enforcement. This is known. Now, is that to say every single one falls in that category? Absolutely not. But to say that this wasn't pointed out a long time ago, this was a while ago. Public knowledge. This is public knowledge. You could go read about it. But people don't like to read, but then they got to realize they were wrong, and they think their feelings, you know, outweigh factual information. So that's kind of,
that's what we're dealing with, especially, like, obviously, we've been dealing with this shit for years, but like specifically with the shit that happened at the Capitol now, bro, you know how many tweets I've seen talking about say her name? It is not the same thing.
It's not. How so? How is Ashley Babbitt say her name different from Breonna Taylor?
Because Breonna Taylor got killed when she was asleep, regardless of her past. Ashley Babbitt got killed in the commission of a crime.
Yeah. Oh, what about like Sandra Bland? They trying to compare the two as well.
Sandra Bland. Okay. Sandra Bland was handcuffed when she got killed. Again, I'll repeat it again. Ashley Babbitt, if you watch the video, homeboy is sitting there with his pistol and he said loudly, "Do not keep coming." She kept going. And what happened? She caught a hot one to the neck. Hey, yep. I know, I mean, maybe except Mr. Mitchell Moss, none of us are law enforcement officers. But if you tell somebody, do not keep doing this because you are violating a rule that can get you killed, and you do it, and then I shoot you.
So the whole, like, I've heard plenty of times when there are people speaking to kind of, like, downplay the killings of Black people in the country, like they should have just listened. They should have just done.
You should have just complied.
Ashley Babbitt didn't comply, and it cost her life. So you got to keep the same energy. Like now, hopefully, I hope you, if you never paid attention to the Black injustices in America, I hope now that like hopefully opens your fucking eyes. So we talk about the energy that Black people get from other races in America, but I want to talk to you, Mr. Mitchell, about the energy that Black people get from other Black people and how there are still Black people killing Black people. So we could sit here and we could talk about, oh, white people are killing us and cops are killing us and this, that, and the third, but yo, check this out, fam. Yo, we killing us too.
Well, goddamn, Willie. Willie. Well, goddamn.
Look, man. Like, yo, think about it. Like, think about it. We put people on pedestals. Like, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. Rest in peace to Pop Smoke. Those are musical artists who were definitely influencers in their own circle and outside of their circle as well. But they were killed by other Black people. So how are we sitting here preaching like we need to rise as a community and this, that, and the third, but we are also out here killing Black people. And I'm not saying no other races kill each other. Okay, cool. White people kill white people, Spanish, and blah, blah, blah. I get it. However, we're not talking about them. We're talking about the Black community. We are still out here killing ourselves, whether that be with the stupid shit that we do, whether it be the beefs and shit that we have, whether it's this gang shit. Yo, it is what it is. I understand you rep your set. You do what you do. But when you killing your people because of it, Like, that's when you lose me. Like, don't sit here and be mad and you protesting for George Floyd and Tayvon Martin and Tamir Rice and all of these other people who have lost their lives, but you are out here killing your people too. Like, come on. Like, we as a community, in all communities, I just feel like we can do a lot better at supporting ourselves. Like, we can support the community. We can do things within the community, volunteer. Like, I'm not saying we got to be out here cleaning the park and painting the corner store to erase the graffiti. That's not what I'm saying. Let it look like what it looks like. It's beautiful. But we got to, there can't be the end point is these streets. The streets can't be the end game. I feel like if you got to live that lifestyle to kind of build that character, it is what it is. But that can't be the end of it. You got to leave that shit, come back, make it better, or stay there and fucking make it better. But how are you bettering your community by killing people that live there too? So talk to me about that, Mr.
Hold on real quick before we go any further, right? Let's put this out there real quick, because when you mentioned that blacks are killing blacks, so how are they any better, stuff like that, right? Let's kill this first and foremost, that there's no such thing as black on black crime. That does not exist. That is something that white folks say just so they can justify the fact that black people are killing black people just as much as white people are killing black people, just so they would be in the same ball field. It's not the same. It is not the same. So I'm gonna let my good brother Mitch talk about it a little more, and you give us your input, brother.
All right. So to what they say, the military, to piggyback. Off what Mel said, right? He's going into the point of racial proximity. And it's already what you said. Basically, if you live, you're going to kill who you live around. So 80%, like over 80% of white people are killed by white people. So yes, this happens, and I think we've already established that. So I think we'll get to the point being made. I think this is where black people are coming from, and then I'll tell you, you know, just kind of how I think we got here. So let's be honest. If Jamal goes and kills Ray Ray, right? These are the names people like to use. If Jamal kills Ray Ray, Jamal is going to go to jail, no questions asked. If Jamal is caught, he's going to jail. Now, we look at, let's see, the officer that killed Eric Garner, he's out free doing his thing. And we watched that happen on tape. Philando Castile, we watched him die, and that video almost made me cry. We watched him die with his little girl or his girlfriend's little girl in the back seat while he was slumped in his front seat. That officer did not see a day in jail. You know, we kind of get in this idea of comparing trained officers to the average day-to-day civilian. You go through the academy, and if I'm, you know, correct me if I'm my time frames are wrong, but on average, most police academies are about 6 months long, right? 6 months, somewhere in that area. But you're going to do a ride-along, or not a ride-along, but you're going to do no training. Huh?
I think it's like 2 months in New York, maybe. Is it?
Okay, so we'll say anywhere between 3 to 6 months. We'll be fair. 3 to 6 months. Then you ride with a trained officer, and you ride with him for a set amount of time. You're trained on use of force. You understand how to escalate and de-escalate force through, you know, verbal manipulation, judo, whatever you want to call it, through using your less than lethal, escalating all the way up to deadly force if necessary. Even having your canine is a show of force. So comparing trained cops to, you know, and holding a civilian, like, I don't, like, that has all, I've never understood that. And that's always bothered me, that people are like, oh, well, you know, you didn't care, y'all kill each other all the time. But what you didn't research was, you didn't research that there's, like, areas like Chicago, they have, like, New Era, like, groups that right. like, literally walk the streets.
Right.
This kind of stuff from happening. So it's not that we're not doing anything. It just becomes an easier argument than facing the fact that, hey, that cop was wrong. You're a hero. This
facts. And you know what? Hey, Mitch, and to your point, who killed Trayvon Martin? It wasn't a cop. It was a civilian holding a gun.
Right.
He wasn't trained in nothing.
He was president of the watch community club shit.
Right. Go ahead, bro.
I'm sorry. To your point, didn't his weapon get sold for like X amount of money?
This dude was signing steel bags.
He had a media tour where he was signing Arizona cans and Skittle bags.
Right.
So they doesn't exist.
As soon as he hopped off that bus, like, what's wrong with him? But you know, that's another fact. Thing, right? Better research, right? When they sit here and say, oh, you know, like, black people are killing like 50% of black people. Meanwhile, white people are killing like, you know, 8%, stuff like that. They fail to realize the geographical point of that there's about 1,000 to 200,000 white people versus the thousands of black people that you have in that community. So if you sat here and you killed 100 white people, like white people killed 100 white people, it comes up off, it's still a smaller percent when you just kill like two black people. It'll be 50% over here versus 10%. So you'll be like, yo, white people only kill 8% of white people versus black people only killing, you know, they're killing 50%. But then you realize this community is only 500 black people. So we only killed 200, so there goes 250, there goes your 50%. Meanwhile, you guys at 100,000 has killed about 50,000 or whatever, and it's still a smaller percent. Or like,
that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah, yeah.
They say, oh, you guys kill each other off more versus how we do. So people don't do their research, man, to understand these things. Man, they teach the same five characters, man. When
it's I can't not say it, but we are releasing these episodes the week of Martin Luther King Day. So
yeah.
Thank you endlessly to Martin Luther King and everything
that's right
for this nation. It's a very fucking amazing topic to talk about. And I know the four of us, shit, even one of us by ourselves can go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah, facts.
And Mr. Mitchell Moss, we invite you to come on board with us for any future episode, talk about whatever it is that you may want to talk about. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. It was great hearing your take on certain things. We thank you for your service.
Same to y'all.
And it was great knowing that there are people like you out there that are aware that they don't just go and fall into the system, and they are aware of their history. They're aware of what's going on around them, but they also take the time to educate themselves on what's going on. So you don't come here and you're just repeating headlines to us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You came to us with facts, and hopefully we all offered some form of new perspective to a listener or viewer. So thanks again to our listeners and viewers. But before we close this out, Mr. Mitchell, please tell us where the fans can find you. How they could get a hold of you, and let us know. Let the fans know. Maybe somebody trying to get
their show the merch. I see it.
Hey, the hoodie, you know.
We got Big Moss merch out here.
Yeah,
we got the new line. Well, the part three about to drop soon, but Facebook, Instagram. Big Moss Fitness, big_moss_fitness for both. Check me out. If you're looking for any workout tips, workout motivation, or random sneaker picks. That's about all I got.
Sneaker talk. Damn, that makes me wish Adam was here. Y'all could have talked it over that. But shout out to Adam being a good dad and a good husband out there.
Yeah.
Mr. Moss, we thank you endlessly for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show. We appreciated having you here. It was a pleasure. It was a great conversation that I'm hoping really stirs the pot and really gets out there and reaches somebody. So thank you again for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Hey, Will, I'm gonna tell you one quick thing right before he leaves, right? Let me tell you how I met this dude. I really ain't meet him just yet, how I got to see this dude, right? He was single at the time. I was single at the time, right? And
right.
This nice, dope-ass hotel in Kuwait, right? And this dude walks in, and it was a sign where people were going to go, like, hey, you're going to stay here and have a time, like, go to, you know, to the other side and all that good stuff. And yo, when he walks in, this dude looked like a football. He looked like I didn't even know he was gonna work with us. I thought he was some football player checking into this hotel. And I looked, and there were some girls with us. And I don't know if you remember them, the girls that was with us in our class. And when they was handing out the assignments, and it was like, Moss, you stay here. All the girls was like, yes. And I was like, take all the girls already. And I thought about, I said, you know what? I ain't even
got to
be mad. I just
got to
be his friend.
Yeah, right. That's it. You just got to be his friend. Yo, all right. Hey, look, real quick. Mel, we got to close the show out the same way that you close it out every time. Hit him, Mel.
Oh, absolutely. Fellas. And my man right here, he already got his lucky lady, but we're going to go into how you know she's the one. So here's the deal, right? How you know she the one is if your baby mother is coming from out of town to stay with you, the love of your life needs to sleep on the couch while you and your baby mother and your son take over the bed.
The views of Melvin Montalvo are only his views.
Bro, you about to get me shot by two different people.
Right? Hey, good news, family. It's been an amazing episode. Thank you again. Like, y'all don't understand. I appreciate all the love, all the support. Hey, if y'all hate us, I even appreciate that too, because you know what? It means you're watching. I'm about to head out, but I'm going to leave y'all in capable hands. My boy Melvin, height doesn't measure heart. And my boy Willie, light skin king. Hey, I'm out of here. I love y'all, all right?
Hey, be safe. All right.
Take care, brother.
So, thank you, Mr. Isaac. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. It was a great fucking episode. Mel, I'm going to just say it right now. You bodied this fucking episode. Mel did the writing, the research. He did the works for this fucking episode. You bodied this shit, bro.
Appreciate it.
It was a really good episode, and I hope that it reflects with the viewers and the listeners, and we get a lot of good feedback, or any feedback. Before we let y'all go, we had a guest submission, and they were asking that we talk about a situation that they were in. Now, if you guys have a situation that you're in and you might want some advice or some input, make sure you hit us up, whether you want to hit us up personally or if you want to email us at goodnoodlespodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to do that. We will leave all of your submissions anonymous, and we will leave out all identifying factors of the situation. So please hit us up. If you need some advice on something, it could be relationships, life, work, whatever it is, hit us up and we will do what we can. So today's submission goes as follows. I let a friend stay with me. We agree that the friend would stay for 6 months rent free so that they can get on their feet and get their money up for a deposit on their new apartment. The 6 months has now passed. And they were a great roommate with no issues. However, they do not have the deposit for their new apartment. So instead, they have a new car. And now they're asking to stay another 6 months because they bought a car with their down payment that they were supposed to give to the new place. This person is pleading that this time for the next 6 months, they will get it together and do things right. My question is, do I let them stay or tell them that their time is up? Or if I do let them stay, should I charge them rent in this particular situation? So, that's
tough.
That's pretty.
Now we putting in, you know, friendship, you know, and
yeah,
and
man,
it can be altered with, you know, the decision. Because if you sit here and say, hey, look, I no longer want to help you. I want you to go. And
that's going to change the friendship.
It is. I mean, it could hurt it. It could actually end it. I mean, or even if you go with the less of the evil and say, hey, you can stay, but I'm going to charge rent now. That person's going to feel away now because now they're going to say, hey, you're not helping me now because you're taking away from the money I'm supposed to be saving because I'm paying you rent. How am I going to save up for the rent that I'm going
to pay? This person now has to pay car note, car insurance, car maintenance, gas and shit. So now how are you really supposed to be saving if now on top of that you got to pay rent?
But we also cannot feel too sorry for this other person because they knew what was at stake. They knew the time frame they had. They knew they were overstaying their welcome at some point. So when you sat here and said, hey, I'm going to take this money and give me a car, you kind of like went against the contract. And also you pretty much like shitted on your friend. You know, you took the kindness for weakness at that point.
So I think what you should do, and you should listen to us. Thank you for being a viewer and listener of the show. And we do thank you. Thank you for your submission. I think what you should do, not should, what I advise you to do is obviously you sit down and you have a talk with said friend and you let them know this was a violation of what we agreed to. You said you were going to stay with me for 6 months so you could get your bread up to get a down payment on an apartment. You got a down payment on a car. That was not the agreement. Now, unless you plan on living in your car, that's not what we agreed to. So you said, now you're asking for another 6 months. Okay. You're saying they were a great roommate. So you didn't really get specific on how they were. You didn't say like they would buy groceries and maybe use some of your chaser and leave change in the fridge like Mel would do. or if you cook,
that is the dishes. True story.
That is a true story. Mel would drink my chaser for my Bacardi and legit leave a note and some change. Talk about, yo, bro, my fault. I drank your juice or your soda, whatever.
Yo, and my brother did the same thing.
Yo, his brother did the same thing without knowing that Mel was already doing. I was like, yo, this must be a Montalvo thing, but all right. but that was real shit. But I think you should talk to this person and let them know, like, hey, look, that's for you to decide. If it's going to put you in a financial bind for them to stay there for another 6 months rent-free, then fuck out of here. No, I don't think you should. They could live in their car for all that shit.
Yeah.
And I understand it is a compromising position because that's the homie. However, you kind of have to do some soul searching. If you're asking us for the answer to the test, I would let them stay there if and only if it doesn't put me in a financial bind. If it hurts my pockets to let them stay there rent-free, then that doesn't help me at all. It's tough
when you think about it, especially when you put a friendship at stake right there. So for me,
it doesn't have to be a friendship at stake. Like, I have an unconditional relationship with my friends, and not to say that me and all of my friends have been through some strenuous shit, but I've been through some shit with my friends, and it's unconditional. It's like, I love you no matter what, whether we go days, weeks, months without talking, that's you still what I said you was. And that's just going to be that. And it's, yeah, man, you just got to talk to that person and say, hey, no bullshit. If you want to put it on paper and get it notarized, take it that far. Like,
yeah, I mean, for me, like, I will look at the situation, and it's like you said, if it puts you in a bind with your finance, if it puts you in a financial burden, then you would have to make that serious decision. And also, because that is a friend of yours, they would have to understand that, because they are your friend. They would have to see, like, yo, I literally spent 6 months, like, letting this person take care of me, pretty much, or take care of the finances. And I would have to understand that, like, hey, they bent over backwards for me for 6 months. And here I am requesting another 6 months that probably the first 6 months was hard on them. Even though I was a great roommate, they probably met like a great roommate, like without no noise, wasn't leaving dishes, or, you know, was cleaning up after themselves. It could be in that sense, right? So I would sit here and I would have to look like, hey, do I know this person well enough to say, hey, you know what? You probably could spend those 6 months at your mom's, at your dad's, at an uncle, at another friend. And if those avenues aren't being, you know, looked at by myself, and I sit here and say, you know what, this person came to me because I was the last resort, I probably would then, yeah, say, hey, all right, let's try this again for 6 more months.
I would ask for a financial contribution, though, truth be told. Like,
yeah, you got to at that point.
And because that's I can't say all, but in North Carolina, a lot of those leases are like a year. And you got to extend, you got to renew it every year. So that's a year on the lease. Like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure normally when that's the case, you have to put them on the lease so that now that they're financially responsible and liable for any damages or things that might happen or whatever the case. But I would definitely ask for financial contributions if they really sit there and tell me. And this is also where the friendship does get tested. I don't think this will end here, but it gets tested because now you got to be honest with me. Now, did you getting a car and now a car note, gas, insurance, maintenance, all this other stuff, does that now put you in a financial bind where you can't like maybe cover the utilities? Like, I'm asking for $3 on the Netflix, dog. Like, I can't get that or something. Like, something to help or compensate. Like, okay, cool. You could stay here for another 6 months, but I'm going to need some financial contributions. Like, groceries is on you or something like that. Like, I feel like the terms of it should be renegotiated. But if, again, ultimately, my advice is that if it don't fuck you up financially, then let them stay there for another 6 months.
Or what you could do, right? So let's say we now we got to get personal with them, because for those first 6 months, you played me. I mean, and I still want to be your friend. I still want to help you. But now we got to get personal. Now we got to do a finance chart. So we're going to sit here and say, all right, you needed 6 months. Look, we needed 6 months because inflation on it was going to run you $2,000 a month. So now let's do a finance chart. So where you find you a place for maybe $1,000 now. And maybe you need 3 months. And what I say that is because now that extra $1,000 that you were going to put out, now that can help me out, maybe, if we're doing the math right. So we sit here and say, hey, the apartment you want is $1,400 a month. And now with this car added to it, you're able to save $600. And it's going to take you 3 months to get the $600, right? I mean, 3 months to get that deposit, down payment, all that good stuff, right?
Oh, so if it takes you 3 months to get $600, you shouldn't have a car.
No, so we say it's going to take you 3 months to get that, right? And I'm giving you 6 months, right? So to stretch it to 6 months, it was going to take you 3 months. We're going to push it to 6 months. So now that half is going to me. So the other half, you got 6 months. It was going to take you 3 months. I'm going to give you 6 months. So now that half goes to me. And now I can live a little comfortably and a little better with the decision.
Yeah, I'm rereading this, and I just think it's, hey, you got to put yourself first.
Man,
it's difficult. I know, what you got to do.
Adam was here, they probably be like, yo, there's a homeless shelter nearby.
Right, like you can stay in a garage maybe. Well, it's an apartment, so maybe not. But yeah, if it don't hurt you financially, let them stay for 6 months. If it does, they got to cough up the chicken.
Listen, this is my last advice. I believe that friendships that turn into family are a beautiful thing. So I don't want the person to lose out on that. You feel me? If you were able to let them stay with you for 6 months, that means you trust this person with your life. So that is a very good friendship. I mean, so my last advice would be that if you do not want them for 6 months, you tell them, come talk to Isaac Moretta. Next year, he'll be a recruiter. He'll get them in the military. They ain't got to worry about staying nowhere but the barracks.
For free. All right. So I hope this advice helps. But if you follow our advice and then it gets fucked up in your situation, don't blame us. You a grown-ass adult.
It's just unfollow.
Just don't unsubscribe.
Yes.
But thank you for sending it in. If you guys want to send in something, hit us up on Instagram, Good Noodles Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at Good Noodles PC. Find us on Spotify, Good Noodles Podcast. Look for us on YouTube, Good Noodles Podcast, as well as on Facebook, same name. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate your love and support and feedback and everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good Noodles, we out of here.
Say you're...